For these lessons on Sunday evening, we've been starting out with this text as our starting point, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Tonight, as we continue to study some of those things that are worthy of giving our very best efforts to on a daily basis, we come to the next two things on our list or in that verse that Paul mentions in that passage, and we've studied godly character, we've looked at kindness and compassion, we talked about humility last week, and so tonight we're going to look at gentle patience. I've combined those two together. Let me explain to you why. Gentle, or gentleness, is a term that is best understood in Scripture by examining the way that it's used. I believe we learn about as much from or about the subject of gentleness from two passages of Scripture that both address the very same subject. It's the subject of correcting the erring. Those two passages are, first of all, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, which says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Now, the second passage that mentions that same thing on the very same subject is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, prescribing this kind of behavior and attitude on the part of God's servant. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. In both of those cases, we are talking about helping someone to come to a realization that they're in the wrong. And in both passages, it says it should be done with gentleness. There's nothing weak about gentleness. We've somehow gotten the idea that gentleness is a characteristic that suggests weakness or some kind of fear to really do anything in a firm way. But actually, firmness is a part of the definition of gentleness, especially when you consider those two passages that we just read. I recall that old definition that I've always heard for biblical gentleness, which is strength under control. Now, with that information in mind, it's easy to see that gentleness and patience go hand in hand, or at least things will go better when they are companions together. Let's talk about patience. First of all, what is patience? There are several definitions that I've come across, and I think all of them are really good. I want to share with you three or four of the best ones. First of all, consider the fact that patience is defined as self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate when it is wronged. The term self-control comes to mind there, doesn't it? The restraint that keeps us from striking back, from retaliating when someone has done something wrong to us. We understand from the teaching of the New Testament that it's not God's will for us to be the instruments of retaliation. In fact, from the Old Testament, the Apostle Paul quoted that passage where God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Patience, defined very well as self-restraint or self-control, which keeps us from being hasty in striking back when someone has done us wrong. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. I've heard a lot of people say one of the quickest ways to get on those short nerves that are right there just below the surface is when you have to wait and wait and wait and wait. Whether we're talking about Brother Norman at the doctor's office that he mentioned this morning, or if you're talking about in line to drop your kids off at school and somebody has gotten in the drop-off lane and parked their car there and gotten out and gone inside to talk to the people in there. What's wrong with these people? Don't they know we're in a hurry? The ability to accept delay or even disappointment in a gracious way. Patience is the powerful attribute that enables a person to remain steadfast under strain and keep pressing on. Steadfast endurance is a term that comes to mind. Not being swayed or distracted by the difficulty that seems to just constantly come up out of nowhere. Here's the best one. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. No matter what happens, I understand and I firmly believe that God is in control. He has a will that is far greater than my will. He has a plan that is far superior to anything I could ever figure out. So you see, in that way, patience and faith have to be constant companions. There is another question that we need to seek out the answer to, and it's based on the fact that patience is so hard to develop, and the question is why? Have you ever noticed how hard patience is to develop? I don't think any of us are born with an abundance of patience. It's something that we have to work on, and as we get older, sometimes it gets harder. But patience is something that's ever before us as a need and something that we'll never ever completely have a sufficient amount of, and therefore we need to always be working on patience. But why does it have to be so hard? What is it about patience that makes it so tough to develop? Let me suggest a few reasons. Number one, patience is difficult to develop because it's actually against human nature. We could illustrate it like this. We are not born patient. When your little baby wakes up hungry in the middle of the night, or wet, or worse, and he lies there and he begins to reason to himself, "Well, you know, Mom had a hard day today, and she sure is sleeping soundly right now. I just hate to wake her up, so I'll just lie here quietly and try to go back to sleep, and we'll get all this fixed in the morning," right? Sarah's giving me that look that says it's not that way at our house. No, little babies don't have any patience. God doesn't make them with patience already programmed into them. Little infants are some of the most impatient people in the world. We're born that way, and some of us even get worse the older we get. It's just not in harmony with human nature to be patient. And that's one of the things that makes it tough. I heard about the little four-year-old. And this was not a certain four-year-old that I'm very familiar with, though it could have been. He kept asking his mom over and over and over on the way to somewhere, are we there yet? Or how long before we'll be there? Or how long before we'll be there? And finally, she'd had all she could take, and she said, listen, we've still got about 90 miles to go, so don't ask me any more when we're going to be there. And he was quiet for a long time, and finally, in a little small voice, he said, Mom, will I still be four when we get there? We're just not patient, are we? We were not born that way. It's not in our nature. Sometimes patience is hard to develop because it has such powerful enemies. Enemies like pride and selfishness and anger. We're told by people of other nations in the world that they see most of us as Americans as, by and large, angry and impatient people. One of the ways that that very fact has hit the headlines frequently in the last few years is that phenomenon that we call now road rage. That has become one of the clearest illustrations of the impatience that so many people struggle with. I heard about a dear lady whose car died on her at an intersection just as the light turned green. And naturally, there was a long line of people behind her, and as she tried and tried to get her car started, the cars behind her started honking their horns, and that seemed to be all that anybody wanted to do, and the light changed red again as she sat there, and they kept honking their horns, and she kept trying to crank her car, and finally the guy behind her in the car rolled his window down and stuck his head out the window and began shouting not nice things to her. And so she got out and she walked back to his car and she says, Mister, I'm sorry, but I tell you what, if you'll go try to crank my car, I'll stay back here and blow your horn for you. Patience has some powerful enemies. Sometimes patience is hard to develop because it's contrary to the culture in which we live. Our culture could best be described with the term uptight. We guard every single minute lest one of them get away from us. And consequently, when we have to stand in line to wait for something, if it takes longer than we think it should, we're just really not equipped to handle that because everything in our lives moves so fast and we've become accustomed to that. I've told you that we lived 2 years in Cameroon, West Africa when I was 10 or 12 years old. One of the things that I remember the most about that place is the slow pace at which everything operated. And if the sign out in front of the church building said that Sunday morning worship began at 9 o'clock, it was unusual if by 9:20 or 9:25 we were finally getting started. Because nobody seemed to be in a hurry. There really didn't seem to be a lot of credibility to any kind of time limit or appointment. And I've experienced some of the very same thing in Mexico. If the brethren say that worship or Bible school begins at 8 o'clock in the morning, then it's usually 10 or 15 after before things get started because nobody's in a hurry. And you know, for some of us, that just drives us up the wall. But we've become accustomed to not losing a single minute. Patience is difficult for some people because they just don't need it, or so they think. In fact, we've come to believe many times that impatience is on the level with productivity. We like the type A personalities, the hard-charging people who don't take no for an answer and who'll bend all the rules if necessary in order to get something done. Just get out of the way. And while there is something to be said for the mindset that strives hard to accomplish whatever is before us, sometimes the whole situation would be much better if we had a little bit of patience. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, God's word says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Patience is tough to develop. But how do we do it? What's the best way? Well, the Bible tells us where our patience comes from, how it comes about. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Some translations say trials. Some say troubles. You understand. Count it all joy when many kinds of problems come into your life, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is developed out of hardship and difficulty and problems. Patience grows when we experience hardship and when we deal with it in the right kind of way. But within that framework that James talks about there in James 1 verses 2 through 4, here are some things that will help us to develop patience. Number one, abide in Christ. There are two key passages that call attention to this necessity. First of all, John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." The way to productivity, the way to producing fruit is to abide in Christ, to let him be the controlling factor, to let his will be the path that we walk in. Same writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but much later, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, John says, "And now, my little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." In other words, the matter of abiding in Christ is something that is well worth our while, because the alternative is being embarrassed when we have to face the Lord over what we've done and how we've lived. Number two, slow down. Slow down. You remember that commercial? This will take you back a few years, but I think it's within the scope of most of us's memories. It was a little jingle, and it said something like, "You deserve a break today. You deserve a break today." You see any irony in the fact that it was a fast food restaurant, the most famous fast food restaurant in the world, that put out that little advertisement, "You deserve a break today, so get up and get away to McDonald's." Take a break. Grab a burger right quick and be on your way. Isn't that, well, just doesn't really add up, does it? We're in such a fast pace most of the time. Take a break for real. Slow down. Take a minute to smell the flowers and listen to the birds sing and glance around and appreciate the beauty of God's creation. All that other stuff will still be there when you get back. Number three, learn to overlook life's little frustrations. As I've put it, forget the small stuff. The little inconsequential things that seem to be so urgent, but in reality they're not really important. Those things that cry out for our attention, but when we give them our attention, we realize that they didn't need to be handled anyway. I'm not talking about neglecting life's real responsibilities and duties. But if your day is like mine, it's filled with little irritations, inconsequential things that you can't really do anything about, and so don't worry about them. Don't get so bent out of shape about the potholes in the road that getting mad about won't help any. And then next, be still. Be still. I borrowed that language from a story that we all remember well. The Israelites fled from Egypt with the Egyptian army and Pharaoh hot on their trail. Remember, they came to the Red Sea and they stood there looking out over that sea. They could hear the rumble of the wheels of the chariots of Pharaoh's army coming up behind them. And in Exodus 14, verse 11, they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die out here in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt?" In other words, they said, "Thanks a lot. We wish we were still slaves in Egypt." In verses 13 and 14, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again." That's what he said. You can look it up. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be still. Now, Moses said that in a much nicer way than I would have. You and I would have said something to the effect of, "If you'll shut up and be patient, you're fixing to see what the Lord can do for you." Be still. Remain calm. Be silent. Let God work. Can you imagine the patient, long-suffering endurance that was necessary for Jesus to accomplish what he accomplished in his ministry here on this earth? You ever lose patience with your kids? We've got some old school teachers in here, and school teachers have my greatest respect because I'm pretty sure I couldn't do it because of, among other things, the patience that's needed. Can you imagine the patience that Jesus needed to deal with the disciples when they failed to learn in spite of the very clear way that he taught them? when they were hypocritically selfish and seemed to be concerned only for themselves after, for more than 2 years, they had been taught the value of unselfishness. Right up to the end, in the garden, when Jesus left them there to keep watch for him as he went on into the garden to pray and coming back twice and finding them asleep. Can you imagine the patience, the long-suffering, the endurance? He wasn't swayed from his purpose. He wasn't discouraged from his cause. That's the kind of patience that you and I need. And he was tempted in all points like as we, Hebrews 4:15, and yet without sin. And then, do you ever wonder why we're still here? You ever wonder why we're still afforded opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and blessing upon blessing upon blessing? The answer to that is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish. For he wants all to come to repentance. We'll never have the patience of God, but we will always benefit from it as long as we're here on this earth. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.